Well, just get right into it here. Hey, yo, because I'm Mo. And I don't know where you're going to start this thing, Brecht. And this is episode, I think, what, 98.1? We're going to call this Yakety Yak Yak or Blah 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 or Yada 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 or something.
Yakety Yak, don't talk back.
Because
Keith just mentioned cold outside.
Yeah, it's cold. We're in Canada. And Keith is mentioning he has eggnog. What's that?
97.1. 97.1.
97.1.
Home of the hits.
Sweet.com. Nicely done. Bringing you through the night. Songs of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and that other decade we never really came up with a term for, and today.
The tens. Isn't it the tens? Is it the tens? The nows?
The now. Anyway.
You have eggnog. Wait, let's not gloss over this. You have eggnog chocolates?
Yes, for our good friends at Purdy's, who are not a sponsor, eggnog chocolates.
Does that mean that there's eggnog flavor in the inside?
Yeah, there's like eggnog, what do you call it? It's like eggnog cream kind of thing and filling in there.
Oh, that sounds good. I bought from a superstore, they had something that they mixed it together, chocolate milk eggnog. And nice. I love chocolate milk. I love eggnog. I figure what can go wrong? Well, something. Something did.
Yeah, I've had the stuff. Lots can go wrong, man.
Lots
can go wrong. Eggnog, not a good idea.
The witch?
Peppermint eggnog?
Peppermint eggnog.
Oh, I could have told you that.
Peppermint eggnog is also disgusting.
Worst idea.
Yeah,
eggnog... The eggnog you can get at a superstore that doesn't have to be refrigerated.
I know that stuff. I'm not sure this has to be refrigerated.
No idea what's in it.
Yeah. Well, it's like
no
chocolate
idea what's in it.
Cinnamon is what it tastes like. It's weird. Anyways, I'm Mo. We got Keith saying hello.
Hello.
We got Brett saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
And we got
good
Chris saying, howdy-ho!
Howdy-ho! I think Chris. I lost a toe.
Yeah. All right. So, like I say, this is 97.1. I'm going to just house cleaning at the beginning. Now that we've already filled you up with lots of comic book talk to start this thing. This is 97.1.
We talk eggnog, yeah.
We talk eggnog. 97.1, the reason why is because last week we weren't on the air. Because we've been rebuilding our website, and me and Brett are by no means IT guys, so we're doing the best we can. We're going through it, and it's taking a while. So this is it. You'll notice a new Superman inspired kind of color scheme thing, and we're continuing to work on it. We may stay with that, may not. The big thing is this will be actually last episode, and we mentioned this. We tried to talk about this and about Secret Santa, and Scott Kowalczyk, who was on, wonderful man. Artist of Mysterious Shit Strangers, and he wouldn't shut the hell up and let me say what I needed to say. So I don't think it made any sense to anybody. The current iTunes feed, is it correct, Brett? We're expecting this show to not be on the new, to be part of the new feed?
Well, this show will be part of the new feed. This show will probably be the last show of the old feed.
We will use the old feed for this show as well, then?
Well, we're simply going to put it on for a few days, cancel the feed out, and then everybody's going to have to sign up on the new iTunes feed. But the best part about the new iTunes feed is that it's going to have everything, that we're never going to be pulling anything off of it. It's always going to be up to date, and it's always going to be, you know, every episode.
Yeah, it's going to be much better. And for that reason, also the same thing. Podomatic will no longer be available on there. So if you go in and you listen to us through Podomatic in just a couple days' time, it will not be there anymore. You won't be able to use the player. Everything will be exclusive to our own website. And, of course, Comicosity will find a way to continue our partnership with our sponsor, because they are the best damn comic book website walking the planet. And we're proud to be with them. As I see, Chris, you look confused. Is everything okay?
He's wondering how a comic book website walks.
No, I'm actually contemplating. Will I finally be able to go into iTunes and get those rare We Talk Comic podcasts from 1967 and more?
Of course you will. Well, that's exactly it. It's going to be a much nicer feed.
It's a win-win for everybody. I'm excited about the new feed.
We are totally working on unearthing some older gems.
We are, actually. We are. Back from whack when this show was, what was it, Keith? We used to mail it out to a subscription.
It was a subscription list, and we sent out cassette tapes to our subscription list. Most of those, unfortunately, have degraded over time. You can find them occasionally on eBay for really, really high prices.
That's right.
But we're gonna, just for free, we're gonna see if we can dig up some of those. And,
see if we can find one from, like, say, back in 2003 before this internet thing took off. And
my reel-to-reel core recorder, thanks you, man. It didn't have many more plays left.
Yeah, of course. And so we're gonna see if we can find that. And a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, so you are subscribing on iTunes. The other good thing is you'll be able to get all the content on the show. You'll be able to sign up to an automatic email subscription list now, where if you subscribe to us and we post anything on the show, a blog or a new show or whatever it is, it'll automatically send you out an email alert as well. And of course, our RSS feed will be much more functional than it has been in the past. And there's a whole bunch of other good stuff that we're planning to do as we continue to kind of slog through it. But so it's just kind of an upkeep to everybody. That's the big reason why we're here tonight. We don't have a topic. Like I say, it's 97.1. We're just going to yak some comics when we get around to it here, and as soon as I shut the hell up. But we just kind of want to let everybody know that. So if you're a regular listener or subscriber there. The other big thing is, of course, the Secret Santa Story Exchange. And again, I tried to explain this, but if you could make sense out of what I was trying to explain through the Mr. Kowalczyk, you're a better man than I am. Here's how Secret Santa Story Exchange. We currently have 7 people signed up for this thing. We have somebody who's going to be a Secret Santa for us, but he doesn't want his actual name revealed for some reason. But it's not anybody associated with the podcast. I can mention that. And how it's going to work is essentially it is going to be a Secret Santa. He will give you a name of a person, and you'll share a story through him with that person. So the person won't know who's giving them the story, but you'll, of course, know who you're giving it to. And so you can make a specific story for that person. And then we'll come on the podcast, we'll talk about the stories, try and guess who it is that gave us the stories, and have everything revealed at the end. It's going to be a great deal of fun. So, of course, like I said, we have the 7 people. But if you're somebody who's been on the show in the past, Jessica or David or any of these people, and you know when Longbox Graveyard and Mojo, anybody like Joe Mulvey, anybody like that, and they want to participate, or if you're a new listener or you're a long-time listener that thought about coming on the show, you can send any one of us a Twitter or direct message or whatever saying you want to be on it. We'll make do, and we'll try and find a way to get you excited in this into this thing if you're interested. It should be a lot of fun for December. Something you wanted to say, Chris? No, that wasn't you holding up your hand. No. That was just you scratching. Okay. No, that's our intent. I understand.
That was me coughing with the mute button on. Thanks for pointing it out, Mo.
Oh, wow.
And thank you, Mom, for doing the Secret Santa for us here.
She's been his Santa in the past, but she's not the Santa this year, I could say. She's not playing Mrs. Claus. So once again, yeah, if you want to, you'll be able to get a hold of us, and of course we'll give out our Twitters at the end. Other than that, guys, what you been reading? What you been doing? What's up?
I just read what may be my new favorite comic.
What's that?
If he can keep up the quality of the number one that I just read minutes ago on my way back from self-defense class. From Batman class.
Is it Dave?
It is Dave.
I knew it.
Written and lettered by Ryan Ferrier, friend of the show, Canadian treasure, Calgary boy makes good.
Actual
Holy
Canadian treasure.
Was that good.
Like oh my Scott God, that Snyder. Was
awesome. Just like Scott. Scott Snyder tweeted how much he liked Dave.
Oh, really?
I just saw that a minute ago.
Canadians
as well.
Supporting each other.
That's right. That's sticking together. Dave is so good. New from Monkey Brain this week, 99 cents. Ryan's first, I guess you call it major publisher, first professional published work as a writer.
Story Exchange?
He could.
He could.
Ryan, if you listen to the show when you're not on it, we invite you to be part of the Secret Santa.
Otherwise, we'll see him for the Super Summit. I know that this year.
Absolutely, which we got to start planning.
Oh hell yeah! Like I said, we've been so distracted with other stuff going on. But yeah, so I mean, I obviously I'll read anything that Ryan does. He's a good guy, and he's done good work too. So I mean, you know, I have trust in it in that way. But what's the concept of it?
It's basically like Terminator, if the Terminators
a cuckold robot.
That's not how I describe it. Okay, it's like there's been the robots have taken over, but having completely decimated, eliminated humans, they've basically become like humans and are now living the same kind of pointless lives that we do.
So, in other words, it's like Magnus Robot Fighter after the...
after Magnus loses. Yeah, yeah. Exactly like that.
Every cop
has a lot of multiple back to being Magnus.
Yeah.
After the inevitable Magnus Robot Fighter loses, and all humans die, then it's time for Dave.
Dave.
It's so
right. Now, is the series called Dave? I tried to figure this out. It's D for VE. The four, that's not an A. The four?
I did mean to ask.
The four of the,
I did mean to ask Ryan this, how to actually pronounce it. So I'm going to tweet him now, and if he gets back to us before the end of the show, we'll be able to tell our listeners.
Very possible he will. All right. How about you, Keith? Or Chris, what have you been up to?
You know what? I took a dive into the old Marvel Unlimited app, and I've been reading Avengers Under Siege, the old Roger Stern Avengers story where the Masters of Evil take on the Avengers. Just some good old-fashioned comic book fun.
I read that about 6 months
something
ago.
I've been missing. Just, you know, a
that?
Good story.
It's true.
Self-contained, and everything is righted right back to where it should be at the end of the story.
Who wrote that?
Stern.
Stern, oh,
Roger
yeah.
Roger Stern.
Yeah. No, that's fun stuff. That's fun stuff. And, Brett, what about you?
I've given up reading comics.
Yeah. You're waiting for them to read you?
Yep. I'm
sometimes when you look into the comic book looks back.
I'm attempting to not have to read comic books and just ingest them, you know, mentally.
And how's that working for you?
I think if you were ingesting them other than mentally, you were probably doing it wrong up till now.
But I'm
I only
so
read
regular.
Comic books using Silly Putty.
I remember doing that
because I'm
slap
dyslexic.
Silly Putty on and rip it off, and it would have the old because the old color schemes they used to use. You could actually have it carry it around with you. That was awesome. You know
I did
what
just
I actually,
finish Magnus Robot Fighter, though. So.
Oh, there you go. And does that not surprise me?
Oh man, there's a variant cover I would buy. Silly Putty edition.
Oh yeah,
I'd pay extra for Silly Putty for a thing of Silly Putty with a comic book. That would be awesome.
This is service with a smile right here. Ryan has gotten back to me. It is pronounced Dave.
Dave.
It's just Dave.
Dave. Monkey Brain Press. Okay, it's certainly near the top of my to read list. You know what
Keith,
I've been doing? I've been
while you're on Twitter with him, then you ask him about the Secret Santa. Ask him right now.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as we're doing it.
Let's make this truly interactive.
He's going to ask what the hell it is.
Now, when you're listening to the show on like the weekend, you're going to have to roll back my timeline on Twitter so that you can read these in real time.
That's right.
Yeah. In theory, actually, Keith's, because Keith has the most followers by slight, and he tweets the most, he actually would be on our site, our official Twitter person, if we can ever figure out how to get it to work. So that's all we have to do. where you'll be able to read his tweets on our site. But so far, no luck on that. But like I say, we're working on it.
Keith, just be sure to make a note on Twitter there so that everybody knows to start here.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. You know what? It's actually because what I was about to say, I figured I kind of want Keith's attention for once.
But you have in the words of social media in the words of the social network, you have exactly as much of my attention as you deserve.
So you know what I've been doing is I've loosened up on the whole watching movies thing and watching a lot more movies and TV and things. And you know what I finished doing literally, I'd say 2 minutes before we got on the air here, is I finished watching Man of Steel.
Nice. I watched it last night. What'd you think, Will?
It's not easy to say what I thought.
It can't have been anything I haven't
just
heard
say
before.
Crazy. It's an awful
that's the thing is, I don't know that there's an awful lot. I mean, I think
You're gonna come down to like one of probably three. You're gonna come down to one of like three.
Either spots. You liked it, you didn't like it, or it was kind of in the middle for you. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, either the ending worked, the ending didn't work, or the rest of the movie worked for you, except the ending. I think that the whole... I haven't come across anyone that the ending was fine and they didn't like something else in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I didn't like anything except the ending. That was awesome. I haven't come across that.
I don't know, Keith. I'm still digesting it because you're literally getting my first thoughts. I haven't even had a time to hash it out in my own brain yet. I mean, I think it's... Oh, boy. Let's put it this way. One of the things I'll say about the film is, I mean, it's a really well-made. Like, you know, the effects are just remarkable and well-directed and well-acted and cast. And, you know, all the behind-the-scenes people did, like, an amazing job. And I got to say that if nothing else, they really tried. Like, the effort is there. Some things may not have 100% work, but the effort is 100% there. They tried to make something really, really impactful and memorable, and you know, I mean, it's a little bit Daredevil, it's a little bit War of the Worlds, it's a little bit, and I do mean just a little bit, Superman, it's a little bit Jesus, it's a lot of fictional stories, and that are very famous there, and it's a really, really good summer blockbuster. Action filled. I mean, some of the CGI gets a little video gamey in some of the action scenes, especially the fights. But I mean, it's the thing about this movie is I can literally look at this film and go, this movie has all the positives of modern filmmaking and all the negatives of modern filmmaking wrapped up in one. You know, when you're watching like the effects and the way it's done and everything and shot and the green screening and all this stuff, it's like, man, they couldn't do this any other way in the past. On the other hand, some ways that they used to do it might have been better. You know, a lot of the visuals they couldn't have pulled off before quite like this, and this many of them. But there's also the negatives of some of those visuals and the way that it's told and the way that the film is. So, I mean, as a film, they tried really hard. But as far as that ending... Jeez, you know, Keith, I don't know. I think the thing is, I think this is a really good Supreme story. Like, if this was the movie of Supreme, I'd be like, this is the greatest movie of all time. This is an awesome movie. What an awesome, awesome movie. I just think a little bit they just kind of missed the point. It lacked a certain charm. And the ending, I don't... I think the problem is I'm sitting there going, you know, obviously the whole situation with Zod and Superman snapping his neck. I mean, I don't think we're giving spoilers at this point.
No, I don't think so. I think it's even though I'm seeing it, like, I watched it yesterday and it's the third time I've seen it, only the first one was totally clean. I mean, now, watching it the third time, I am aware of all of the things people didn't like, so it's intellectualizing it a lot.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping that after some distance, I did find actually, even though I had that intellectualizing it at certain moments, the fight scene still completely drew me in. Like particularly the once the big battles start, and because What he really wanted to capture was how strong these characters were.
How strong of mass they are. And in doing so, there's a blur motion that's going on to a lot of the fight scenes, and that's where, to me, it looked a little bit too much like a video game. But I mean, I've seen a lot of like let's put it this way. I just also, the week before, watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which everybody seems to love, and I thought it was maybe the worst movie I'd ever seen. I think it was a horrible film. Horrible.
I'm used to you being wrong, but not that wrong.
I mean, I think this is a horrible movie.
That's pretty wrong.
There's so much wrong with it. And one of the things is that it's got, I mean, again, when any time that its characters are in motion, fast motion and flying through things, it looks like it's a computer-generated image, which, of course, it is. And in this, except for in those fight scenes, most of these visuals, I think, just look fantastic. And even then, like, some of the airplanes and whatever did look a little phony, too, but I think generally they did a really, like, the visuals were as impressive as any film I've ever seen.
See, it's interesting, Keith, when
you,
I mean...
You know, if you want... Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. One of you.
if you want great special effects, man, I got a movie for you. Sharknado.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
on Netflix.
It's now on Netflix.
If you want to class up, that's where you want to go.
I noticed it, yeah. No, I mean, as far as the ending, Keith, I really think, I think within this movie it worked. Because, again, this is a great Hyperion story. you know, great Hyperion movie. Like, but that's it. Like, within what they've set up, it kind of fit. It's just that as I'm watching it, he's sitting there going, there's no way to save these people except for to snack his neck. And I'm going, well, why does he just toss them straight up in the air? Like, what is it?
But like, that's not so what's happening. That's not what's happening in that scene. It's not about saving those people. It's about everything that's led up to that point. It's Zod saying, I'm going to kill every person on Earth and make you watch. That's just where he's starting. Like, yes, he could throw them in the air. And then
but
what?
It doesn't matter.
And then what happens
him?
After that? What happens after that?
Well, then he knocks him out. Him.
What happens after that?
And then he uses that Kryptonian...
From the comic books,
he knocks
we've established
him out.
Phantom no. Zone.
Yeah, we go have ahead. The Phantom Zone established. He knocks him out. We use the Kryptonian technology to eliminate him. We
there
put him
no
on another planet where he doesn't have these abilities.
Okay. The Kryptonian technology has all been destroyed.
Not all of it, no.
Yes, it has.
No, there was still the stuff that, not all of it.
Then you should have watched the film, because yes.
No, there wasn't. No, I tried to think that. Like, was all of it destroyed?
Yes, because Zod is taking the scout ship. He's taking it back to the Black
Zero.
Yes,
you're right, yeah.
And I mean, this is actually Wade's complaint after he accepted that, yes, there have been stories where Superman killed someone, was that the story is set up in a way that it has to get to this conclusion, and that was his problem with it, is that it was a flaw in the story that it didn't leave him anywhere else to go.
I do think the major flaws in the film are in the script. And there's a lot of things that it asks you to accept that is a complete illogical jump that makes you go, oh, all right, I guess I'll accept that one. And then there's another one where you go, I guess I'll have to accept another one. And then there's another one. And now I'm accepting a lot of these. And there is a lot of those, you know, not as many as Rise of the Planet of the Apes. But
let's not let go Pa Kent being a dick throughout the film.
Who? Oh, Pa Kent.
I hate Pa Kent in that film.
I don't know that. I don't think he was a dick, but I do think that some of those where I went, that's asking a lot. That's a kind of a logic jump that you're asking me to make. I do think there was some of that where it didn't make much sense to me. But again, okay, you're saying that there's no way to contain him. I don't know about that. Like, because he didn't even try, right?
That's
but again,
true.
Within this story that
they fought for like 20 minutes.
He's oh, not believe me, I know it.
But he never knocked him out. He never had him beat. You know what I mean? Like, once he didn't try. Like, there's containing him, and then there's you've won, and now we figure out the solution. I don't know. It just felt a little. I think a lot of it, Keith, is that a lot of the impact that it should have had, like on how he's going to kill all the people on Earth, is I just like the Christopher Reeve. And the Zod, it's in the second film, and at that point, there's the point in the film where Zod and his two cronies there have Superman down, and the people in Metropolis turn to him and they start throwing rocks and all these things, and they're going to get killed by Zod. But they're standing up to him because Superman means so much to them, because he's been a hero to them for so long and sacrificed so much. And this is a Superman who's showing up for the first time, and he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that connection with the Earth, and the Earth doesn't have that connection to him. He might have that connection more to them, but they certainly don't have it to him. Do you know what I mean?
He's already saved the Earth in the first film.
That's what I said.
No, but that's... They do have that connection to Superman. They have the connection?
In Man of Steel, there isn't that same connection.
Because they've just met him, yeah.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. And in doing so, I think that a lot of the emotional impact that this was supposed to have for me wasn't there, because I didn't feel like... I felt like this might have been, again, it would have probably been better told over a course of a couple stories. I think that was an advantage before. I also think, I don't dislike it at all. I like it actually quite a bit. It's like an Elseworlds story or something. Like, you know what I mean? I can accept it for what it is, but it didn't make me at all mad or anything like that. There was a lot of times, like at the end after all this goes down, and then Lois Lane comes running to him right after he's killed Zod. It's like, oh, great, she's there, and she looks fine. Everybody else killed. There's Lois Lane, and then they kiss, and I'm laughing. And I'm supposed to be this big emotional moment, and instead I'm laughing at the ridiculousness of, once again, this is just a little too convenient. There's a lot of convenient scenes in this movie.
My wife's principal complaint is actually was Lois Lane. She actually would have been okay with the whole film if it wasn't for Lois Lane, because she just didn't feel it was enough for her to do.
She is the world's greatest detective.
Well, that's it. Yeah, she's more... It's like there's a lot of scenes where you're going, why is she there? Like, why is she there in the movie, but in as far as, like, why is she... Like, why are these people letting her be there? Like, there's no way this would ever happen. Like, I just... And the romance to me felt really rushed at the end, their aspect. Like I say, same thing when Pa Kent dies, I'm laughing. I actually bust a gut laughing. I thought it was so ridiculous. It's not emotional to me. It's like he sits there and he holds out his hand. No, don't save me. And he's like, okay, I won't. And then he dies, and I'm like, come on. Like, I actually, instead of making me feel the emotions that wanted to, it actually made me laugh on some of those key moments. So
I think.
But it's great action. It's great effects. Great, great, beautiful effects, beautiful cinematography and visuals, and the sound was amazing. And like, there's a lot of stuff that's just like, as a summer epic event film, it's just wonderful. So that's kind of what I thought. Brett, you just watched it too, apparently, because you keep on talking about it.
Well, I tried to, but you know.
Also, you probably are harder on it than me.
I'm not necessarily harder on it. I mean, I like the fight scenes. I lose it during the fight scenes just because I find it like half of the movie, and it gets a little tedious for me. But overall, I do say that it has one of the best characterizations of any character in a comic book movie. It's just not Superman. I think that the General Zod characterization is phenomenal.
Oh yeah, he's so good. The characterization and the acting, like, just really good.
Like, just, I love the background and the setup on that character now. I mean, it just totally brings,
you know what this is,
brings it to life.
What Geoff Johns did when he brought him back, this characterization, this is much more in line with what he did, and kind of, you know, very influenced, I felt, by that. Didn't you think, Keith?
Oh, absolutely. I think Zod was such a highlight. And I was so excited. Michael Shannon is such a great actor. I love him on Boardwalk Empire. And when I heard it, it was just, I knew how perfect it was going
to
be.
Oh, he was terrific. And you know what? I have to say, I personally thought Henry Cavill was very good. And I think he played a very, very heroic, genuine Superman. And he got himself some fantastic human growth hormones there. He really managed to. He really put the money in and the investment into the steroids. And that really paid off well, too.
I mean, yeah.
But no, I think he was. I actually liked the Superman character Yeah.
I just got confirmation that Ryan Ferrier will be in for the Secret Santa exchange.
We're up to eight. So if you want in, there's probably only a couple spots left if you're... you know, get a hold of us. Anyways, what else did you think, Brett?
As a general rule, I found the movie unheroic in my opinion, and I didn't find Superman terribly heroic, and I didn't really like the way it was set up, and you know, and I wish that he hadn't killed at the end. I understand it totally from the perspective of the movie, and I can't say much of it because I knew it coming in. I knew that he was going to do it, so when I watched it, it was kind of like, oh, you know, I had been tainted by that knowledge.
Yeah.
So I don't have a true understanding of how I would have felt, like, if I would have felt outrage by seeing it immediately, and maybe I would have, maybe I wouldn't have. As it stands, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, I think he could have done it. I think he could have handled it differently, and it would have been more engaging for me. But for me, this is
Yeah, he could have tried.
Yeah.
There's just a feeling that he didn't try another way. I think that's probably the only, if I had an issue with it. But again, within the world and the way they set it up, I think you're right, Keith. I think that it made sense. So it
makes total sense. I mean, yeah. Total sense.
No.
I mean, for me, this is a movie that I doubt I would ever want.
I mean, there's the scene where he's sitting there, they're doing the terraforming on the Earth, and he's losing his powers, and it's very dangerous, and he's out there anyway struggling against it. I mean, I think that's very heroic. I think he was a completely heroic character there.
And so, and rewatching it, that's the Superman moment for me.
Yeah.
Is when he's pushed down, the world's going to end, and, you know, against all odds, he destroys the world engine.
Yeah, exactly. And even right before he takes off to do that, when he's sitting there and he tells Lois, okay, you should back up. And she backs up a little. He goes, a little more. And that's a total Christopher Reeve Superman type thing to say and do. And that's the little charm of Superman that I think a lot of what was missing, but it was there in small bits. It was there in that moment, I thought. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think... It's one of those films where I now that I've seen it and I hear everybody's opinion, I don't think anybody's wrong. I don't think you're wrong. I don't think Mark Waid's wrong. I don't think, you know, anybody's wrong. Like, you can see this film and see your own... I certainly bring your own experience from it. So, I mean...
Anyone kept up on S.H.I.E.L.D.? Chris, nope. You still watching that?
Yep. Not religiously. I caught up just because I knew the Thor crossover was this week.
What a weird crossover.
So I am now up to date.
So it was a weird crossover.
Strange.
Episode. Yeah. I mean, it had to walk this really fine line.
Being as it wasn't a crossover, they just sort of... I would have liked some connection, but there really wasn't other than we had Asgardians.
Well, and the opening scene is them cleaning up after the events of Thor 2. But as I told someone who was, you know, not sure if they should watch it because they haven't seen Thor yet, there's actually enough in the trailer for Thor to tell you what's happened before. Because all it is, like, the opening scene of the episode is them cleaning up at a school where there's some alien artifacts. And that the shot of that school getting destroyed is in the trailer. So everything you need to know for the episode is in the trailer. But it was a tough one because you don't want to alienate people who haven't seen the film, but at the same time you want it to have some connection. And
Thor show up in the show?
No.
No, okay.
No, they can't afford it.
It has to do with Asgard. They use a villain called the Berserker, which I do not remember a Berserker army in the comic books in Thor, although...
Oh, there was.
I have not read as many...
In that Warren Ellis miniseries, wasn't there?
No idea.
I think it was Warren Ellis miniseries that had that.
Although, coincidentally, the Warren Ellis miniseries had the World Engine.
I seem to remember reading a Thor miniseries. I think it was Ellis that was really, really violent, and yeah, it was a bunch of Berserker characters. But it's been years.
I guess really the biggest question that I have is: is there any good reason for me to watch the S.H.I.E.L.D. show after I finally see Thor?
No.
Because I was saving the episode, but honestly, I don't like the S.H.I.E.L.D. show enough to save it very long if there's no good reason.
I would say no. Honestly, the only thing that ties to the Thor film is the opening 4 minutes.
All
right. But sweet. You like the Thor film, though, right?
Oh, I love the Thor film.
Yeah. I know it's a massive box office success. Mm-hmm. Critically, it's middle of the road. So, I mean, it's
every,
it more
every
for fans?
Every comic movie is, though.
No, I mean, not necessarily. No.
The exception of the Avengers movies did okay, or Avengers itself did okay with the critics, yeah. And the Nolan Batmans did well. That did okay with critics, but that's about it.
I mean, no, the Raimi Spider-Man did very well with critics. The first two did fantastic, but the second one actually did better than the first one with the critics.
Yeah, there's been and, like 20 comic movies since then, so I don't really remember
okay,
that.
Okay, but you know, I just don't think that's 100%.
Yes, but you've got to remember
Kick-Ass
the same.
Really, the first Kick-Ass went through the roof with critics, and the second one, much like the box office, went right in the toilet.
But see, the Sam Raimi ones, I mean, that's actually pretty up to date. You know, he took a jump out of continuity with Superman.
Well, yeah, exactly. I've had that amazing Spider-Man sitting on my PVR now for 9 months. I got to get around to it.
Oh, hit delete.
Yeah, just delete that.
But I got to. I'm in this thing where I'm now catching up on. Chris, did you get a chance to see Thor?
I saw Thor. I didn't like it as much as the first one, but it has some high points and some low points. I'm very much divided on the movie. For me, a lot of these movies is I really like the crossover aspects that they're applying a comic book model to the movies. And this one didn't have too much of that going on. So I was a little disappointed there, but I think as a standalone movie, it works perfectly well. Somehow I just wanted more.
All right. Well, I got a question for you guys, comic book question. I don't know, maybe we've even discussed this before, but I can't recall. What do you guys think is the hardest genre to write in comic books?
Archie, every story's been told.
I would agree until I read Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hardest genre. Maybe Western.
Western? I definitely...
I think Western, that scoping epic. Scoping epic, like a Lawrence of Arabia type story.
Oh, yeah. That's
is extremely hard. Like, I don't know if I've seen... Because part of something like that is time. Like, Lawrence of Arabia, it's about the isolation, and you know, you'd need 2-page spreads and a 300-page graphic novel to really capture even like a fraction of that kind of isolation and desolation and being away from everything. I don't know how you sell that on like a 6-panel grid.
Comixology guided view.
Maybe if you were actually if you were adapting something or using a historical something like the Age of Bronze books that are really really well done. Shows that something that I didn't think could necessarily work could. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to create your own, I think that would be very difficult.
Anything that's dealing with a broad history is difficult because there's so much unpacking that's necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, you see these, you used to do the biography comics and anything like, you know, I read a lot of the Kennedy assassination comics, and it just becomes info dumps where you get like an image and tons of like blocks of text, and I think it makes it difficult because it's hard to show that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Might agree with that.
You also have the problem of a serialized medium, is that you have to have sort of a cliffhanger every issue, or people don't get the sense of an ending or a reason to buy the next one.
You
have to have an even flow.
If it's a monthly book, what if it's just a 180-page graphic novel or 300-page graphic novel, which exists? You know, I don't know that you can say that then.
It does. I mean, it's less common in North American comics. I mean, there's something like, there's like the Buddha books.
Yeah,
that told the life of Buddha. But, I mean, again, they're like 500-page volumes, and they really have the space to play something like that out. I think it's more challenging in North American comics for that. Not like in that method, that way.
You know, and you mentioned first the one that came to your mind was Westerns, and I definitely, to me, that was one of the ones. And the reason I was thinking of this is because I was kind of looking, you know, when we're going through the website and we've been working on it, one of the things that I've gone through and noticed is some of the old titles, and like we had the Laugh Olympics on there, and I'm like, well, comedy's hard anywhere. Comedy's hard as a stand-up comedian. It's hard to make a funny show, TV show. Of course it's funny, hard to make a funny comic. And then I came across our 2011 Treehouse of Horror 1. Oops. But and there's a lot of that going on.
Kickstarter, we can still do one. Two. Two, like, would just oops. Be in 2014. That's all.
Yeah, well, the big challenge of comedy is that, you know, North American comedy is all based on timing, mm-hmm. and timing is in the reader's control in a comic. You know, it's like, you know,
a master artist can.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's. Yeah. I think it limits you in certain kinds of comedy.
Comixology guided view.
Well, in that method, I mean, you look at Batman 66 stuff, the DC controlling the pace, you can read that. And I think that's more conducive to comedy. And I don't know if anyone's really played with it enough yet besides Batman 66.
Well, it's still early.
Mm-hmm. But in that way, you are controlling the speed that someone gets to the punchline.
Well, as I say, to go back on Treehouse of Horror, I started thinking, man, I can read a horror comic that I think is really, really good and excites me. But to read a horror comic that scares me, I don't know. I can read ones where I go, that's a great quality book, great read. But it doesn't scare me. And a lot of that is probably because, I mean, you do get some, you get horror novels, and of course they can really, really play with your mind because they have the way of doing it to get inside it. But even those don't really scare me. When you get to a horror movie, so much of modern horror conventions that we're used to seeing, especially in a visual medium, comes from film or television shows, but we'll just use film because it's easier. And it's on playing with light and shadow. And if you go into a completely dark room for several panels in a comic book, it's just an utter fail. And so much of it also is sound, and especially in the day and age of directional sound, the 5.1 and all this type of stuff, where they can use it and play with it. But so much of horror comes from the use of sound and lights that you just can't do in a comic book. So I just think it's at a disadvantage. So, I mean, I just think it's really, really hard.
Again, timing and surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even a cheesy horror film will have a good, you know, skeleton falls out of a closet kind of moment, and you know, despite yourself, you go, ah.
Well, yeah, exactly. When the cat jumps out an alien, you know that's coming.
Short of having a pop-up in the middle of a comic that you didn't know was there, like you turn the page and
yeah.
boom. I mean, it's really hard
that
to do
would
that.
Rule, dude. Oh, that would rule. Somebody get on that.
I hate jump scares so much.
Because they work on you every time. You've watched Alien, you know that cat's coming. It still works on you. I see you. You have to, and you don't do a full jump. That's the thing. If you just, it's this little thing that you do.
Too much information
to get me every freaking time. Every time.
That's it.
I also can't jump even if somebody holds a balloon when they're and holds a pin out and says I'm going to pop this balloon. I still freaking jump 10 feet. just can't.
That's an actual. I think that's an actual phobia. All right. So
it
I don't
is.
Know if,
it
does
is.
Anybody else have anything else they want to talk about? Or, like I say, it's kind of a quick little thing tonight, not a full real show. Just a chance to catch up with each other and with the listeners and go through some stuff without Kowalczyk screwing it up. So
I'm
love the guy.
Making it entertaining.
Talk about Netflix,
mean.
Man.
But he made it great. Don't get me wrong. It was entertaining. What's that? What's that, Chris?
We need to talk about Netflix, man.
What about it?
Well, Marvel this week announced 5 series.
Oh, yeah. We've got 5 series in development
Marvel
from
going directly
DC,
to.
There's a ton of TV shows been announced. DC has 5 in development, and Marvel has 4.
Wow.
It's five in the Netflix deal if you count the Defenders.
Right, right.
Yeah, because it's Iron Fist has a series. Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, they all have the individual series, which will combine into a series finale, The Defenders. So that's five just on Netflix.
That's interesting. Hopefully they pull it off. I know Netflix...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know Netflix, if you go on there, and I mean, I have Netflix, and they have a lot of Disney movies, so it's obvious that they've had a strong, but not obviously exclusively, they have a lot of Disney product and movies and that type of thing that you don't think of. You always think of Disney as being so controlling with their own properties, but they're there on Netflix. You know, so, I mean, they obviously have a good relationship with them. I don't know exactly who owns Netflix.
Yeah, no, I just find this original content very interesting.
Well, most of the original content...
I'm kind of hoping they succeed a little bit better than they did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but...
Yeah, but you know what? Most of the original content that Netflix has done, and they're slowly rolling it out, but it has been really, really good stuff. They've generally, you know...
House of Cards is excellent.
House of Cards is excellent, and what is it, Orange Black?
Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black, that's good, and Hemlock Grove is pretty cool. So, yeah.
And at the same time, DC is developing, I'm not going to remember them all.
Booster Gold?
No announcement for Booster Gold.
Screw you.
They are announced that they are developing Constantine, The Flash, Our Man.
Our Man. That's the Constantine. I'm like, well, there was a film.
Yeah,
the
for
Flash,
the CW.
There was a show. Our Man.
Yeah, Our Man was a bit of a surprise there. That was that one kind of came out of nowhere. iZombie was the other one. And
what about iVampire?
And Gotham.
Oh, Gotham.
Gotham, which is the GCPD.
Yeah.
It's a prequel to some version of Batman. It'll be Gotham. It'll use GCPD characters, but it will not include Batman. It'll be prior to the.
I just hope it's as good as the GCPD comic was. So.
Indeed.
Yeah. That was good stuff.
So yeah, it's Brett, a ton.
Anything over there besides another sarcastic, snarky comment?
Comics? No. I just like Chris.
I had a couple days off, so I've been reading Final Crisis.
Oh yeah.
And once again, reading some DC comics from a couple of years ago, I am struck by how big a lie it is that DC used to be all family friendly and touchy feely. Because there's like decapitations in this. There's, you know, people drinking themselves to death. Like, it's incredibly violent. It's incredibly adult. There's sex scenes.
I remember reading it, and I never thought of it that way.
There's a sex scene in one of the... I think it's in Resist. Yeah, it's just amazing the way people remember back. But yeah. I think they remember, like, one comic and think that they were all like that. They're incredibly violent. I don't think really anything has changed, but there's just that nostalgia... blocks it out.
Could be. And who has a nostalgia for 2005?
All right. I was thinking back. I just noticed today that 2014, June 2014. So mark your calendar. June 2014 will be the 10th anniversary of Paris Hilton's One Night in Paris movie. Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around that. That's been 9.5 years since that came out.
All right. When was Kim Kardashian?
So, do we set gifts on this day? Too. Is there a?
We'll all get together and watch and do a live audio commentary.
I'm hoping for a Blu-ray 10th anniversary. Deleted scenes, you know, the whole deal.
Write a letter to Shout Factory, man.
There you go. All right, let's get out of here, Brett. You do plugs for everybody.
Well, these guys already know way too much about, like, Paris Hilton.
Speaking of plugs.
I think a better question is, why don't you know more? I think the Kim Kardashian
was a billion times hotter.
I never saw the Kim Kardashian. I've never seen her.
Thank God.
I don't find her attractive, to be honest with you.
It's just hotter, though.
I've never seen it.
Anyways. I'm not saying watch either one of them. Go find that Justice League porn parody and watch that again. Or what was the one that Kowalczyk said was awesome? Was it the Batman one? He's like, that was awesome. I'm like, awesome?
There are like
really,
six different Batman ones. There's a ton of Batman ones. And there's a Man of Steel one, actually.
Of course there is.
They churn them out fast now. Like, they basically create the movies based in just on like what they can pick up from the trailers. So they get like the costume design and there's a Wolverine one already. Like, it was a Wolverine
one. Are you kidding
me? The same month that the Wolverine came out this year. It was a Wolverine parody.
I'm sorry, did we need a story? An actual story in them? I mean, I don't really think
usually
so.
There's usually about 2 minutes of bridging in between.
Wonderful. All right, Brett.
I just watch for the story, Brett. I don't know.
Of course.
That's the only part I'm watching.
Totally.
Yeah. I read for the articles. Brett.
Mo.
We're wrapping up.
All right.
We're going to go OUT.
Okay. Well, I just wrote a numbers game column, which will actually be out tomorrow. Now, but by the time you listen to this, it will already be out on Comicosity. Ah, my bad.
Guided View.
$1
into the jar. He pulled the Chris.
$1 into the jar.
I was so used to saying Comixology Guided View that I just couldn't stop it. But
I like that Comixology Guided View, though. It's awesome.
It's even awesome. Better, yes. It will guide you first to the overall numbers game. We decided to go with a single article this time because there wasn't that much new. So one single article covers everything. So
you got the short straw to have to put it over.
Perhaps, yes. But you know... No, it's funny because...
But I'm lazy, don't you guys know?
Because Matt, of course, a friend of the show, Matt there, he's rebuilding. Yeah. He had to rebuild his website. So there's a lot of website rebuilding going on. So
they're just copycats.
Yep.
All right. So that's
otherwise,
your Brett.
Brett_WeTalk on the Twitter.
Two T's on his name, folks. Two T's. Chris with one C, one S.
Yes, I have no TTs.
It's a shame.
Chris, anything to say?
No, nothing.
Chris_WeTalk. I'm Mo_WeTalk, in case you can't figure it out, because that's what we do here. We keep it in uniform. Keep everybody in line. And, like, Keith is Keith_WeTalk, right?
Almost.
Oh, what is it then?
I am Cub Reporter K on Twitter. And I do have I had a new post on Comicosity this week. It was an image released. It's the last page spread instead of the Channel 52 this week in DC. They had a 2-page image of Batman Thanksgiving, which had tons and tons of teasers for what's going to come up in Batman very soon. So I've got a post trying to pick all those Easter eggs out, including some characters that haven't been seen for a while. There's a lot of cool stuff in there. Possibly the return of Renee Montoya, which is
ooh, nice.
If it's not the Golden Age Sandman, I don't care.
It's the Golden Age Renee Montoya.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. I like that. Big fan of that character too.
Sandman currently appearing in Earth 2, being awesome, being all Canadian.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Yeah. That's it, right? Anything else?
And I got a whole bunch of references I appeared on two different blogs accidentally because I told someone to stop being a dick to an adult film star. He was being quite rude to him to her, and I said, hey, just cut it out, and ended up showing up on a couple of blogs, one calling me names and one saying I was awesome. So,
are these blogs adult film blogs or comic book blogs?
No, geek blogs, I'll say, because she's a cosplayer. That's where. That's
What's the name of the porn star? Let's give her a plug.
Tanya Tate. Tanya Tate, who is a cosplayer and adult
surprisingly
film
not familiar with that one.
And my point, a human freaking being. no matter whatever you think of what else she does in her life, she's a human being. And
yeah. But she does also have the option to get off Twitter. Like you did sometimes, Keith.
I feel
bad for blocking her on Twitter now.
For what? Or blocking her? Yeah. I just got sick and tired of her wanting.
Yeah, I just automatically take out porn stars off Twitter.
Don't.
There's nothing wrong with doing that. Calling her names, on the other hand, is pretty impolite.
Anyways, again, tweet us or comics at We Talk Podcast for an email, and any feedback is always welcome. And as I think that's it.
And just as of next week, sign up for our new iTunes feed.
Yes, yes. And subscribe on our show, and a bunch of other junk. Anyways, bye-bye.